Krishna was actually preparing himself to go back to Dwaraka after spending a long time with the Pandavas and Kunti Devi. So it was just before the departure of Krishna that Uttara Devi came forward and recited a few verses to Krishna, addressing Krishna as the Lord of the universe. Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade manyam tvadhavayam pashye yatra mrityu parasparam. Uttara Devi said to Krishna, addressing Krishna as mahayogin, the greatest of all the yogis, that something has happened inside me. That what is that something? The child who was inside is not moving anymore. This was Uttara's complaint to Krishna. Uttara Devi mentioned to Krishna that the baby inside is not moving anymore, and she was frightened that the baby is dead. It was in that mood Uttara Devi came to Krishna. Pahi pahi mahayogin devadeva jagalpade nanyam tvadhavayam pashye yatra mrityu parasparam. That Uttara Devi's words have actually hit Krishna so badly that Krishna accepted that Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttara Devi, who Uttara Devi actually lived because Krishna wanted her to live. After in the Mahabharata war, when Abhimanyu was killed, on the same day Uttara Devi wanted to give up her life as well by jumping into the fire by performing sadhi. But it was Krishna who requested Uttara Devi to stay back and not to give up her body, because Krishna had the higher plan that Uttara Devi had to deliver this baby, Parikshit Maharaj. And through Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna wanted to bring Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. So this was all in Krishna's mind. But it so happened that when Uttara Devi complained about it, Krishna immediately understood that this heat, what Uttara Devi has experienced in her inside, is nothing but the Agnayastram or the Brahmastra which was sent again by Ashwathama, has come and hit her again. Krishna immediately, Sudarshanena Swastrena Swanam Rekshadvidadvibho. Srimad Bhagavatam Sukadeva Goswami says there that Sudarshanena Shastrena, that Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj inside Uttara Devi, not by any weapon, just by looking at Uttara Devi. Krishna entered into the womb and Parikshit Maharaj was seeing this scene actually inside. Somebody was moving around him inside, protecting him from all sides, from the heat of the weapon what was fired at her. Sudarshanena swastrena swanam rakshadvidadvibhum. That protection what Krishna has gave to Uttara Devi. And at that point, Krishna since then hasn't changed anything. That it is throughout this age, there is no proof anywhere, or there is no mention of it anywhere, that Krishna has taken a weapon after that. Because after that, from that day onwards, still today, Krishna actually cures the problem just by looking. That is why it is mentioned there, that Sudarshanena Swastrena Swanam Rekshadvidadvibhum. That Sudarshanam, that the looks of Krishna was sufficient to solve the problem and to protect Parikshit Maharaj from the fire of the Brahmastram which was fired by Ashwathama. So anyway, after this has happened, that Krishna decided to leave and he got boarded into the chariot, and it was at that time Kunti Devi comes in and Kunti Devi started glorifying Krishna. Namaste Purusham Tvadyam Ishwaram Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. That Kunti Devi's prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is so famous that these prayers by Kunti Devi actually moved Krishna. Kunti Devi did not study any scriptures. Kunti Devi did not perform any sacrifices. But that heartfelt prayers from Kunti Devi actually affected Krishna so much that this is the first prayer in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first glorification in the Srimad Bhagavatam by a pure devotee, Kunti Devi. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam Ishwara Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. That Krishna, Kunti Devi has forgotten that Krishna is a brother's son, is a nephew. And Krishna has also forgotten that Kunti Devi is her aunt. Now it is the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead talking to each other. Namasye Purusham Tvadyam. That you are the first person. I pay my obeisances unto you. Purisham Tvadyam Ishvara Prakrite Param Alakshyam Sarvabhudanam Andar Bahiravastidam. Inside and outside, you are present there in every living entity, inside as well as outside. But it is not to be seen by anyone. You are not recognized as the Supreme Lord by the general society, by the human population. Why is this happening? Because Kundi Devi has analyzed Krishna's position in this world so nicely that all the questions what she has put forward, the answers are also given by Kunti Devi. That's the way the Kunti's prayers is going to Krishna. But in addition to that, most of the verses you will find there that Kunti Devi never said once, it is my opinion. Kunti Devi always say that this is the opinion of some of the people. That is the humility of Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi never once said to Krishna, this is what I think or what I feel about it. That was not the way Kunti Devi spoke to Krishna. Namasye purusham tvadyam ishvara prakrite param alakshyam sarvabhudanam andar bahiravastidam. Why are we not able to perceive? But so many people who are present in this world, they were not able to see Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Why? Maya javaniga chanyam ajnyadokshadam avyayam na lakshase mudadrisho nado natyadharo yatha. That just like in a drama, if somebody is dresses up in some form, in some actor, and he comes to the stage, people completely forget that his real identity. They try to accept him as the person who is dressed up in whatever character he is playing in the role, whatever role he is playing in the drama. Exactly like that, Krishna's original identity is covered by Maya. Maya has drawn that curtain between the human society and Krishna. Maya javaniga channam ajnyadokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudadrisho nato natyadharo yatha. That exactly in the drama what happens, it's the same thing Krishna was playing in this material world. So when Krishna came here, most of the people were finding it to accept, understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That He is the Supreme Lord behind everything, the material nature, the Maya, everything. So, because it was forgotten that Krishna's position was not understood by the devotees, Kunti Devi says there, na lakshase mudadrisho nado natyadharo yatha. So that is how Kunti Devi prayed to Krishna. So when Kunti Devi has said these prayers, there are certain reasons behind it why Kunti Devi expressed all these sentiments to Krishna. Kunti Devi's life is something in the Mahabharata as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the limited extent what is mentioned there, is full of distress. That as a mother, she had to take care of the 5 children, 3 from her own children and 2 of Madri's children. Madri, the co-wife of Pandu, she had handed over the responsibility to Kunti Devi to look after Nagula and Sahadev along with Yudhishthira, Bhima and Arjuna. So these 5 children were brought up under Kunti Devi's shelter. So Kunti Devi had a responsibility. And if you see in this material world, that everyone is actually experiencing distress in this world. There is no doubt about that. It is material nature itself. It gives us the understanding that human life is basically one of distress. It is not one of happiness. Under no circumstances one can say that I am living happily in this world. Because ultimately everyone is subjected to the death and everyone is subjected to old age and disease, everything. So many material problems are there. Even if one wants to avoid them, one cannot avoid them. Therefore, the conclusion of all the Shastra is that this samsaram or this material existence is something which is insurmountable. That by our own effort, except through the spiritual process, one cannot come out of this samsaram or material existence. So, because of this, the samsaram is compared to, or material existence is compared to, is to something which one has to constantly accept distress in some form or the other. Distress is the dharma, or it is the nature of the material existence. That one cannot avoid, no matter how hard one try for that. So if you ask this question, not only the human society, the men as well as the women, both of them experience distress in this world. Out of the men and women, who experience more distress? That is also another interesting thing. Shastra says the women actually experience more distress in this material world. Now out of the women who experience distress in this world, who experience more distress among them is again the women who have got children. So it is the mother who has children in this world, who experience the maximum distress in this material world. That is the way material life goes on. That Maya Javaniga Chanam Atyado Chadamavayam Malakshase Mudhadrasho Nado Natyatharo Yatham. So Kundidevi, being a mother, knew what is actually the distress what she has gone through. And knowing very well that she has experienced so much distress in this world, Tadha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalalpanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Kathe Pashema Histriya. That Kundidevi asked Krishna this question. Tadha Paramahamsanam. The people who go to Krishna, they are not the people who generally very active in the material world. The people who are active in the material world, they have a lot of business in this world to do. They have to achieve so many things. They have so many goals and ideas in their head. But Paramahamsas are those people who have already withdrawn from all these activities of this world. Paramahamsas have already come to the understanding that in the material world there is a much more important problem to be resolved rather than solving the temporary problems of material life. This is the understanding of the Paramahamsas, and therefore they are known as Paramahamsas, who have already understood that the human life is meant for self-realization, human life is meant for going back home, back to Krishna. So that is their understanding. So these Paramahamsas, it is they who actually glorify Krishna. Normal people who are busy in this material world, they will find very, very hard to glorify Krishna. There is a reason for that. Because they are focused, or their mind is more focused on the activities of this world. That has not gone beyond than that. But when a devotee has come to that point of understanding that higher than activities of this world, there is something superior to that, then he becomes a Paramahamsa or Paramahamsa's platform. Yadha Paramahamsanam. So Paramahamsa are those people who are searching for Krishna. And because they have given up all their big plans of this world, they have enough time to glorify Krishna. They are not short of time. Sometimes we see in this world, when you talk to people, they will tell you that, oh, where is the time for all spiritual life? You know, I've got so many things to do. And when I'm finished, that I can't find time. And I'm not able to focus my mind on Krishna consciousness or Krishna conscious activities. The reason is that the mind is so much involved in the activities of this material world. And when it is like that, it is very, very difficult to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Tadha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalalpanam. Muninam, Muni means one who has practiced silence or who are very thoughtful. So the thoughtful people who can think and who can understand the true nature of the living entity in this material world. Tadha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalalpanam. Amalalpanam means one who has purified their own consciousness and who is pure in their thoughts and understanding. Bhakti Yoga Vidhanatham Katham Pashyema Histriya. That for them to develop the devotion in their heart, Krishna has agreed to accept their service. Or in other words, Krishna accepts these people, their service, Paramahamsam, Munis and Amalalpanam, all their services, Krishna will accept that. But Kundidevi is asking Krishna, I don't belong to any of these category. I am just an ordinary woman. And in my situation, what should I do? This is what the question Kundidevi asked Krishna. When Kundidevi was mentioning this to Krishna, Krishna started smiling. Because why are you paying obeisances to me? Krishna asked Kundidevi. After all, you are my aunt. And why do you pay your obeisances to me? And Kundidevi said to Krishna that this relationship between you and me on the material bodily level has no meaning really, because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead who have come here, and my duty is to offer my obeisances to you because I have nothing else to offer you. Tadha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalalpanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanatham Katham Pashema Histriya. That as a woman, I have nothing else to offer except my humble obeisances to you. Kuntidevi's words actually moved Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevayam Devaki Nandanayacha Nandagova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namam. That Kuntidevi addressing Krishna. Krishnaya Vasudevayam, Vasudeva's son. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanayacha Nandagova Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namam. Namapangajanabhaya, Namapangajamalini, Namapangajanetraya, Namaste, Pangajangrayim. That Kundidevi could not resist in glorifying Krishna to such an extent that Kunti Devi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Krishna. So in while talking to Krishna in this way, Kunti Devi's mind went back into all the things what has happened in her past life, in her earlier period in her life. In fact, ever since Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra has decided to expel Kunti Devi and the Pandavas from the kingdom, and when they had to go through so much of distress in some different places, in different forms, in all these conditions, Kunti Devi has experienced so much of misery. It was actually misery that was imposed upon Kunti Devi by the arrangement of Duryodhana and the Dhritarashtra. They were actually giving so much trouble to her. And Kunti Devi, when all these troubles happened and all these situations, Kunti Devi actually prayed to Krishna for protection. That is what all she could do, because she didn't know anything else. So Kunti Devi remembered all that. Not only that, Kunti Devi mentioned in her prayers what circumstances and how she was protected. That when Devaki Devi was in the prison, Kamsa has actually killed all her children. And Devaki is Krishna's mother. Devaki Devi is Krishna's mother. And Krishna did not even protect Devaki Devi's other children. They were killed by Kamsa. But Kunti Devi says to Krishna, in my case, you have protected me as well as my children. This was a special mercy you have shown to me. And this was the first thing what Kunti Devi said to Krishna. After saying that, Kunti Devi started repeating again, Vishad Mahadne Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Vanavasa Krishanal. That Vishal Mahagni, when Bhimasena was small, one day Duryodhana invited all the Pandavas to have a picnic together. And during the picnic, Duryodhana arranged in such a way that Bhimasena was fed with food mixed with poison. And the intention was to kill Bhimasena somehow, because Duryodhana from the very beginning knew that Bhimasena was going to be his enemy number one. So he wanted to kill Bhimasena. And to kill Bhimasena, he poisoned Bhimasena by mixing poison in his food and offered to him. And this poison actually didn't work with Bhimasena. Bhimasena was tied down together, and with a heavy stone he was pushed underneath into the water in Ganges. When he went underneath, he was taken over by Varuna and to Nagaloka later, where many, many powerful snakes have bitten him. And by the snake bites, he actually got cured from the effect of poison what Duryodhana has tried to give it to Bhimasena. So these arrangements by Krishna were such that Bhimasena, although was arranged by Duryodhana to be killed, Bhimasena was protected. Vishal Mahagne. Then the fire of the house made of lac, which Dhritarashtra constructed, which everybody knows that what happened to them, that Kunti Devi and the children escaped from that fire and he was protected from that as well. Vishal Mahagne Purushada Darshanal. So many demons came. They came to kill the Pandavas when they were in the forest. And all that time, Krishna offered them protection. Vishal Mahagne Purushada Darshanal Asal Sabhayam Vanavasa Krishanal. That Asal Sabhayam, that in the assembly, when Duryodhana and Dushasana decided to insult Draupadi Devi by disrobing her, by removing her sari, at that time, who protected Panchali? Who protected Draupadi Devi? Kunti Devi again reminded Krishna. Asal Sabhayam Manavasa Krishnal. Not only that, in the battle of Kurukshetra, when the very powerful weapons were fired against the Pandavas, who has protected them from the death? So Kunti Devi's mind was so clear, she had no doubt, it was only Krishna who has protected the Pandavas in all circumstances. So when Kunti Devi said this to Krishna, that Krishna simply smiled. That Krishna's smile was such that, in other words, Krishna was saying that you don't have to have any doubt about it, that who was protecting you in that circumstances. But anyway, when this was said to Krishna, that Krishna's mind was also feeling compassion for Kunti Devi. That Kunti Devi, although she has not been trained in anything, any of the Vedic literature or in the Shastra or she hasn't studied anything. But in spite of that, that heartfelt prayers from Kunti Devi actually moved Krishna. So it was at that time when all these memories came back to Kunti Devi, she started thinking about it, and eventually she told Krishna, Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal, Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru, Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal, Apunar Bhavadarshanam, that Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal. Actually, what has happened? That every time so many dangers were coming to us, all the time, every day, one after the other, so many dangers were happening to us in our life. And every time when these dangers came, we were asking for your shelter. We were asking for your help. And every time we asked for your help, you have come and protected us, Kunti Devi said to Krishna. So from this, we think, Kunti Devi's words were like this, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, from this, we think that it is these dangers that has actually kept you in our heart. So our prayers to you, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal, all these, let these dangers come to us. Because if the dangers come, immediately we will call for your help. And when we call for your help, you will immediately come. So it is these, because of these dangers, that we were able to see you as and when we wanted to see you. And that is what made it easier for you to see you all the time when we wanted to pray, when we pray to you. Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal, Tatra Tatra Jagal Gurum, Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. That Apunar Bhavadarshanam, that one who wants to free oneself from this material existence, Kunti Devi says that it is only Krishna can help in that situation. So when Kunti Devi said this, Krishna had mandam jaghasa vaikundha. Krishna has simply smiled. Why? There is also a reason behind it, that Krishna smiled. Krishna smiled was actually because Kunti Devi's case, it was full of dangers in life. And what has happened to Kunti Devi, all that dangers eventually turned out to be auspicious for Kunti Devi. Because although she had to go through all these dangers, at the end, Kunti Devi had the auspicious outcome that Krishna has become favorable to the Pandavas and to Kunti Devi. Seeing the Kunti Devi's devotion, seeing the Pandavas' devotion, and seeing the their principles of religiosity, Krishna actually gave them the eventually going back home back to Godhead. So Krishna's mercy to the Pandavas, Krishna's mercy to the Kunti Devi has actually happened, although Kunti Devi had experienced all these dangers. But look at the other side of the story. Kunti Devi was actually very, very poor. She had no money. She had no even a house to live. She was thrown out of the house, out of the palace. And although belonged to the royal family, they had to spend years together in the forest without even a proper place to sleep. They slept under the tree. They slept under so many difficult conditions. And still, they stuck with Krishna. They didn't leave Krishna. But what happened to Duryodhan? Duryodhan, he had all the wealth in this world. And he had everything. But he didn't have Krishna. Because Krishna was not favorable to Duryodhan, in spite of all the wealth he had, eventually it has all become a cause of disaster for Duryodhan. So wealth is only useful, or the wealth is only beneficial to somebody when Krishna is favoring that person. Otherwise wealth has no meaning. The wealth is actually can become a cause of bondage in this material world. That is what that lesson is teaching us. That Kunti Devi's prayers were such that in spite of all the difficulties she experienced, in fact, it was Krishna's mercy that ultimately she won Krishna. That although she didn't have any wealth, eventually the wealth was actually Krishna. But in Duryodhana's case, he had all the wealth in this world, but really he didn't have Krishna. So that difference is shown there in that prayers. Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal, Tatra Tatra Jagal Guru, Bhavado Darshanam Yasyal, Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Now, if you look into this prayers of Kunti Devi, you will also notice something else there, that generally in this material world, when people pray to the deities, or to Krishna, or to any other demigods even, normally we will pray to the deities to remove all the dangers from life. Abadome nashe nashe, sambadome prabhaya prabhaya. There are so many mantras which actually tell to that, addressing the deity, how to pray. And in there also it says that get rid of all our dangers in our life and keep us happy in this world. This is how we pray to Krishna. We pray to the Lord. So, but Kunti Devi's prayers is just the opposite. Kunti Devi is saying, Vibhada Sandhu Dashashwal, let all the dangers come to me all the time. Because Kunti Devi's mind is working in another direction. So far, it has always proved to Kunti Devi that being surrendered to Krishna, total surrender to Krishna, is the greatest protection in this material world. As we said before, material world, everyone is experiencing distress in some form or the other. But that is something, the nature of the material life, that one cannot escape from that. That is the dharma of the material life. Samsara means, that is why all the great acharyas, they have defined the material existence in different ways. Samsara kupa patito taranavalambam geham jushapavi manasyudhiya sadana. Gopis even, who have not, like Kundidevi, who also did not have any understanding of the scriptures, even gopis pray to Krishna in the same way. Samsara kupam patito taranavalambam geham jushamabi manasudhiya sadanam. That we have ahushchame nalinanava padaravindam. That when in the Sananda Panchakam, after the, before the Rathayatra started, for the solar eclipse, Krishna went from Dwaraka to Samanda Panchakam. And in that solar eclipse, all the devotees also arrived there. And in that meeting, the gopis also came to Samanda Panchakam, along with the cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, everybody were there. Vasudeva and Devaki came from Dwaraka, along with the Yadavas, Balaram, everybody were present in that. So Krishna took Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda to Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna took all the cowherd men to the assembly of the Yadavas. They were allowed to mix. But Krishna did not keep the gopis with the queens. He took the gopis into a solitary place. And in that solitary place, Krishna asked the gopis, what else, what other desires can, is there any more desires you have which you would like me to fulfill? That was the question Krishna put forward to the gopis. In the Bhagavadam, this is very clearly mentioned. Ahushchade nalinana bhavadaravindam yogishwarer abhivijindyamakadabodaihi samsara kupam padidotaranavalambam yeham jushamabi manasudhiya sadanam. That in that meeting, when the gopis have, when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, at that time Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan to inquire about the welfare of the gopis and to console them that Krishna will return soon. At that time, Uddhava asked the gopis that what is there, any more desires they have, or he wants them to convey any message to Krishna. So the only message the gopis gave to Krishna was that they have one more desire left in them. That means, years ago, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, in the rasa dance, singing with Krishna and dancing with Krishna, they've enjoyed so much with him that they wanted to do that once again. This was their desire. They had no other desire. This was the only desire gopis expressed to Uddhava. So Uddhava took this message to Krishna. This has happened when Krishna was probably 11 or 12 years old. And now, Krishna is 125 years. Just before he left the planet, all these things happened. That means after 100 years, Krishna has kept that word in his mind, that Uddhava has mentioned this to me. Rasa krida lulita lalitam vishladhal keshavasham mandol bhinnam shamajalaganam lobhaniyam twadangam karunyabdhe sagradavi samalingidam darshayedi premon madal bhuvanamadana tulpriyastvam vilebhum. That what was the gopi's desire? Rasa krida lulita lalitam. In the rasa dance, when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, Krishna's hair, the black hair, was actually curled and the sweat was dropping out from the hair. Rasa krida lulita lalitam vishladhal keshavasham mandol bhinna shramajalaganam lobhaniyam twadangam. That Krishna's beautiful body was actually full of dust and the sweat. And the gopis were embracing Krishna at that time. Karunyabdhe sagradavi. That karunyabdhe, addressing Krishna, that if you can show that mercy to us once again, because gopis have enjoyed with Krishna. Karunyabdhe sagradavi samalingidam darshayedi premonmadal bhuvanamadana tulprastvam vilebhum. This was their desire, which they have conveyed to Uddhava. Uddhava conveyed this message to Krishna. So, keeping that in mind, Krishna asked this question to gopis in the Samanda Panchakam. And the gopis answered to Krishna that their only desire is to dance with Krishna once again. So, and that remembrance, what they have done many, many years ago in Vrindavan came back to them, and Krishna and gopis performed another rasa dance in there at that time. So, in that, from that we can see that Krishna is actually not forgotten. The devotee's mind is read by Krishna all the time. So, Kunti Devi was saying to Krishna that that Krishna was actually remembering all these days when he has spent the time with the gopis. So gopis were also like that, like Kunti Devi. They had no knowledge, they had no study the Shastra, but at the same time they knew that the association with Krishna, glorifying Krishna, was their happiness. And in this material existence, anyone who has fallen into samsaram or material existence, for them actual shelter is Krishna. And we find this in so many other places also. Nalini dalagadam jalamadi taralam tadvajividam adishaya javaram vidyavyadhi abhimana grastam lokam shokahatam jasamastam. The true nature of this material world, the great Acharya says this, is like that it is our lifetime. The such a short life what we have in this world is also so much disturbed by the three modes of nature. Tadvajividam adishaya javaram. And not only why? Vidyavyadhi abhimana grastam. Different sicknesses, false ego, and everything is confronting us in all the time. Lokam shokahatanja samastam. This material life is nothing but misery, distress, all that what we expect from this life. So anyway, this samsara material existence, what is providing us this so-called, the so-called happiness of this world, is immediately given up by Kunti Devi's prayers. Kunti Devi says to Krishna that vibada sandu dashashval tatra tatra jagal guru bhavato darshanam yasyal abunar bhavadarshanam, that one who wants to free oneself from this ocean or from the cycle of birth and death, it is only shelter is Krishna. Then what else Kunti Devi said to Krishna? Kunti Devi said to Krishna that so many things in this life can become a problem for me. What was her her consideration was, Janma Ishwarya Shuddha Shribhi Edamanadam Puman Naiva Hartavidadam Vai Tvama Kinchana Gojaram. That in this material life, there are certain factors which affects a person's outlook in life. Janmam, a birth in a good family. Aishwaryam, material opulences. Shruti, knowledge. And Shri, beauty. All these things can become an impediment in one's progress in spiritual life. Janma Ishwarya Shuddha Shrivi Praidama Anamana Dappuman Naiva Hartyapidadum Vai Tvam Akinjana Gojaram. Because Krishna is the wealth of such people who have nothing in their hands. They are poor. They are poor in every aspect, but their wealth is Krishna. So those who have got Krishna as their wealth, they are considered to be Akinjana Vittaya. That means their wealth is coming from, because Krishna is their wealth. They have no other wealth in this world to offer. So, namo kinjana vittaya nivarta gunavurtaye almaramaya shandaya kaivalya padaye namam. After saying all these things, Kunti Devi said to Krishna that namo kinjana vittaya nivarta gunavurtaye, one who is free from the all the three modes of nature which doesn't touch you, almaramaya shandaya, who is always Atmarama, who is totally satisfied within himself. Krishna doesn't require any other external source to become happy, unlike us. Atmaramaya Shandaya Kaivalya Vadaye Nama. That Kaivalya Vadaye Nama, impersonalists also, they also approach Krishna for their Brahman realization. So eventually, Kunti Devi says to the Krishna that those who are looking for liberation, freedom from this material existence or from the cycle of birth and death, the only shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. So saying like this, Kunti Devi started finding a reason why Krishna has come to this world. And this reason, what Kunti Devi has given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is considered by the greatest acharyas among all of the commentators of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sridharacharya Swamiji. He says there, Kunti Devi's answer is the answer to the question in the first chapter, when question was asked, why did Sudha Goswami and Shavanagarishi, when they were discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the beginning, Shavanagarishi asked these questions to Sudha Goswami, why did Krishna appear in this world? And why Krishna has appeared as Vasudeva and Devaki's son? And the answer, Sridharacharya Swamiji says is this, that and the way Kunti Devi put that to Krishna was also very interesting. Kunti Devi said to Krishna, Some people say, Kunti Devi didn't say who said, some people say that you have appeared in this world to to help Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is the personification of religious principles. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is elder to Krishna. Krishna always paid his respects to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And to support and to help Yudhishthira Maharaj, you have appeared in this world. That is what some people say, Kunti Devi said to Krishna. Then she said that the next thing Kunti Devi said to Krishna was, some people also say that you have appeared in this world as to protect, as because you have promised Vasudeva and Devaki previously that you will appear as their son and give them shelter. So some people also say that you have appeared in this world to give them shelter. But there is other group of people who say a different thing. Their argument is that when Bhumi Devi, when she was experiencing the weight or the hellish activities of the demoniac population in this world, Bhumi Devi went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma and all the demigods together, they went to they went to Mahavishnu, and together they approached Krishna for him to descend. So some people say that you have descended because Brahma and Bhumi Devi has prayed to you like that. So these three things Kunti Devi said, and ultimately Kunti Devi said to Krishna. But some people also say something different. What is that? Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravana smarana hani karishyan iti kechanam bhavesmin klishyamananam. That the struggle in this material world is such that most of the people, Kunti Devi's words are absolutely true, because what she has used there, bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. Avidya, kamam and karmam. What is that? Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance means not knowing one's true identity. That is most of our situation. We have no understanding that we are actually spirit soul. We have no realization about our spiritual identity. We do not even know where we belong to. But somehow or the other, we are caged in this material body. But when we are caged in this material body, that ignorance which has come along with the material body is always dictating to us to act in a particular way. Avidya kama karma bhi. Because of so much avidya, so much of ignorance, what is the next thing? From that ignorance, so much different material desires that has come out from that. And when these material desires are inside, avidya kama karma bhi, that followed by those material desires are followed by such activities which are actually forbidden by the Vedic literature. So this is the result of that. And then what happens? So first thing is avidya, ignorance. Ignorance to be followed by the very, very high, strong material desires. And those material desires, again, followed by such activities which binds us and creates more reactions to it. And eventually, what is the result? The result is that, and the result that comes out of it is eternal distress. That's what is coming after that. So this cycle goes on. Avidya kama karma bhi bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi shravanasmaranarhani karishyannidigejanam. That in that way, one living entity is creating more and more reaction to his own life activities in this world from his material activities, and the internal result of that is total distress that comes from that. So when a person is trapped in that condition, what should he do? This is the question. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, it is for their benefit that you have come to this world and performed these wonderful pastimes in this world. So while glorifying Krishna, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, this is the opinion of so many other people, that you have come to this world and performed these pastimes only for the benefit of those people who are engaged in this avidya kama karma bhi. That who are engaged in such activities, they have no escape route. They have no way they can escape from that. Because this avidya is particularly the nature of avidya in the age of Kali, is so predominant that it will not allow a person to free oneself from the material way of life. It constantly binds him to this material world. So when one wants to free oneself from that material condition of life, the only shelter is shravana smarana rahani. They can hear about Krishna. They can remember Krishna. They can remember Krishna's pastime, and their holy name can be chanted. This is what the shelter Krishna has offered. It is only for this purpose, Kunti Devi says, you have appeared. And this is how Kunti Devi put that to Krishna. And when Kunti Devi said that to Krishna, Krishna actually accepted that. That Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's activities in this world, although we say Krishna has appeared in the Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna says that he has appeared in this world just to establish religious principles. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya jadushkradam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That Krishna comes to this material world for the sake of establishing religious principles. That is a fact, there is no doubt. But apart from that, Krishna's arrival to this world, more than anything else, is to please those people who are caught up in this life, in the avidya kama karmabhi. That is Kunti Devi's opinion. That one who is caught up in this world, who are not able to free themselves from the entanglement of maya, for them, shravana smarana arhani, by hearing about Krishna, by remembering Krishna, and by chanting the holy name, Kunti Devi said to Krishna that they can free themselves from this conditioned life. Shravana smarana arhani karishyan nitikejanam. When Kunti Devi said this to Krishna, Krishna accepted that prayers from Kunti Devi. But it was then that Kunti Devi Krishna thought in his mind that maybe he should leave now, he should go back to Dwaraka. And that program he was making in his mind, and it was at that point that Kunti Devi took her to her mind that she should ask Krishna to stay back. Because Kunti Devi was thinking that if Krishna is leaving now, then what will happen to me? That I will be again having, I'll have again difficulties. If you go away, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, there is no harm. If you want to go, you can go back. But by the time you get back to Dwaraka, you will get the news that Kunti Devi and the children are dead. So this is what Kunti Devi said to Krishna. So Krishna said to Kunti Devi, if I don't go back to Dwaraka, what will happen to Yadavas there? They are also, because it's a long time since I left Dwaraka and came to Hastinapur. So since for a long time I have been away and I do not know what has happened to them there. Kunti Devi said, no, if that's the case, you should go back now. Because I do not like to know that the Yadavas are in distress either, because they are our relatives and I don't want to see them in distress either. So you should go back. But if you go back, what will happen is that you will hear this news that Kunti Devi and the children are dead. So Krishna said to Kunti Devi, if that's the case, what should I do? Should I stay in between Dwaraka and Hastinapur? Krishna said to Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi said, that is the height of Kunti Devi's prayers. Look at Kunti Devi, how intelligent she is, that how she was able to understand the material nature, so nicely analyzed in her prayers to Krishna. Kunti Devi said to Krishna that Atha Vishvesha Vishwalman, that you are the universal soul of every living being in this world. Every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna. So Krishna knows everything what goes through every single one of us, and that you cannot deny that. And because you are the super soul, or you are the supreme self who is situated in everyone's heart, Atha Vishvesha Vishwalma Vishyamurte Sogeshame Snehavashamimam Chindi Dridam Pandusho Vrishnisho. That you can say like this, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, that if you leave us now, we will be dead. There will be nobody here to look after us. We are finished here. But if you don't go there, they will be dead also. So they will also experience difficulty. So actually, I am thinking, Kunti Devi said to Krishna, that the problem is not that. The problem is my attachment here and the attachment there. That here I am thinking, these Pandavas are my children. I have to protect them. It is my duty to look after them. Because I have this knot of attachment, or the string of attachment between me and my children. And on the other hand, I have another string, the string which you cannot see with the eye, which is again the string of attachment to the Yadavas in Dwaraka. So it is these two strings I am bound. On the one side, the string of attachment to the people in Dwaraka. And with the other string, I have the attachment to the Pandavas. If you are merciful, just cut these two strings. This is what Kunti Devi said to Krishna. Sneha Vasham Imam Chindi Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishum. That towards the Pandavas and the Vrishnis, I have this attachment. It is this attachment that is causing this problem for me. Actually, attachment has to be only for Krishna, nobody else. This is what Kunti Devi was bringing out the point. That if we get attached to anything else in this material world, the result is distress. It is no doubt about it. Even when we look into our own life, you can see that as children, when you grow up, you are attached to the parents. When you grow up, one day parents leave. What is the result? Result is distress. And then feeling a loneliness, we accept, either a man accepts a wife or a wife accepts a husband, thinking that together they could be happy together. And then when some distress comes to the family members, either to the wife or to the children, the man is in distress. Or when something happens to the man, the wife is in distress or the children are in distress. This is the nature of the material life that cannot be avoided. Time is time is unconquerable. One cannot change the influence of time. That is what Kundidevi said to Krishna. Adha vishesha vishwalman vishyamurte svakeshume snehabhashamimam chindi dridam pandushu vrishnishum. That this knot of attachment I have towards the Pandavas, the knot of attachment I have towards the Yadavas, please cut them and release me from this knot. And the only person who can cut that knot is Krishna. And that is what Kundidevi is saying to Krishna. After Kundidevi has spoken this to Krishna, then Kundidevi said to Krishna, Shri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishabhava Nidrukra Janyavamsha Dhananapavarga Viryam Govinda Godhuja Surartihara Vatara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. That Kundidevi glorified Krishna. Shri Krishna, addressing Krishna as Krishna himself, Krishna Sakha, Arjuna's friend. Vrishabhava Nidrukra Janyavamsha Dhananapavarga Viryam. Then Krishna appeared for what reason? Govinda Godhuja Surarthi Haravadara. To protect the cows, to protect the Brahmanas, and to protect the Vedic culture. Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Yogeshwara, applying to, that's the only way Kundidevi could address Krishna as Yogeshwara. Earlier we have seen Uttaradevi addressed Krishna as Mahayogin. So greatest of all the yogis, Yogeshwara is Krishna. Now, what does that mean? That if Kundidevi said to Krishna that there should be no attachment to the Yadavas or to the Pandavas, does that mean that from now on we should say to Krishna, I have nothing to do with my family, everything is over, that I am only loving you, nobody else in this world? Is that what it means? No, that's not what it means. What actually that means is Kundidevi is saying to Krishna that I have to live in this world, I have to continue on my activities, but there is no attachment. Neither in the Bhagavad Gita, nor in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says anywhere that one should stay free from action. Krishna is always saying that one should act, but act with complete detachment. And the true love, the mind has to be absorbed only in serving Krishna, nothing else. If that platform, one is able to function, then he is situated in Krishna consciousness. That's what it says. That Krishna says that Kundidevi's prayer is concluding, that before Kundidevi requested, finally asking Krishna to stay back, that Kundidevi mentioned this to Krishna. But Kundidevi's prayers, one could understand that Kundidevi actually meant that that this sneha vasham, this attachment, is actually the cause of distress in this material world. So after Kundidevi spoke this, Sri Krishna Krishna Sakha Vrishabhava Nidrukra Janyavamsha Dhananapavarga Viryam Govinda Godhuja Surartihara Vadara Yogeshwara Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. That Kundidevi ultimately paid her obeisances again to Krishna and asked Krishna to stay back. Kundidevi said this, and as soon as Kundidevi moved away from the chariot, Dushyanta Maharaj came running there. Dushyanta Maharaj came up and he started saying to Krishna that, Krishna, you should not go back, because Yudhishthira is Krishna's elder brother. So Krishna had to accept Yudhishthira's request. So Kundidevi said to Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj also said to Krishna to stay back. So Krishna was saying to them that maybe I should go back to Dwaraka. So this was actually a dilemma Krishna was facing, whether to stay or to go back. So eventually Krishna said to Yudhishthira Maharaj and Kundidevi, I will stay back in Indraprastham. But at that point, Kundidevi and Yudhishthira thought, Maharaj Yudhishthira thought that it is because that they have requested that Krishna has decided to stay back in Indraprastham. But actually, it was a different situation altogether. Premna Rajya Nivarina. It says in the Bhagavatam that Yudhishthira Maharaj has thought that because of his love for Krishna, which is true, that Yudhishthira Maharaj loved Krishna so wholeheartedly, that Premna Rajya Nivarina, that because of that he was not able to refuse and he was willing to go back to Dwaraka. But the scene was completely different. That when Yudhishthira requested Krishna to stay back, Krishna decided to stay back. But when Krishna decided to stay back, something else happened there. What was happened? That Yudhishthira Maharaj by now was very pleased by Krishna's decision to stay back. But at the same time, Yudhishthira Maharaj was becoming very disturbed in his mind. The Mahabharata war was over. And in the war, millions of people were killed. And after this death of so many people, Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind was getting very, very upset. Why? Because sometime Yudhishthira Maharaj used to sit down. He was by then in the throne, and Yudhishthira was thinking that what has come out of this war at the end? Millions of people were killed. Many, many children have lost their father. That was one result. Many, many women, they have lost their husbands. Many, many mothers, they have lost their children. And all of them were cursing him, actually, after the war, that why did this war happen? And why did this happen? And Yudhishthira Maharaj kept repeating in his mind, thinking, in his own mind he was thinking all these things. And he started saying that when I asked Krishna to negotiate with Duryodhana, I specifically told him that I don't want the kingdom. I'm just happy if I get a house to live. And what Krishna, I specifically mentioned this to him, but Krishna didn't take care of it properly. He didn't do a good job as far as the negotiations are concerned. This was what Yudhishthira Maharaj was thinking. And he also started saying this, slowly, slowly, this problem inside the mind started coming out, little by little. So, once it so happened that Arjuna and Bhimasena, while talking to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira Maharaj mentioned to them that I am not feeling at all happy, because generally it is like that, papa bhiti, it is called papa bhiti, the fear that of the sinful reaction personified follows you after a sinful activity. That is what we have to understand from the Vedic literature. When the kings and the great emperors, particularly when they are involved in big, big wars and big hellish activities in this world, they also have to take the reaction. Not that they are free from everything, everything will be shared by the public. No, the king has a high responsibility. Those people who are taking such a decision of slaughtering and killing other animals and living entities, they also have to accept the reaction of their act. There is no doubt about that. So in Yudhishthira Maharaj's case also, that personified form of fear was actually following him. Pava Bhidi, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when it started following him, slowly it started disturbing his mind very much. He was analyzing the war and he was trying to understand, what did I gain from this war? At the end, okay, I have become the emperor, but at the cost of what? At the cost of so many millions of people who lost their lives. So when this dream inside started slowly coming out, one day he said to Arjuna and Bhimasena, I have told you before that Krishna is the cause of all this problem, because Krishna should have taken care of this from the beginning. I trusted him too much. I gave him all the responsibility in negotiating with the Kauravas. And what happened now? That this is what has happened, the result. Oh, the result was the war. The very war which I wanted to avoid, I asked Krishna to talk to them and come to some settlement. But at the end, Krishna did not do a good job. On the other hand, he encouraged me to fight the war. Not only encouraged me to fight the war, he made so many plans during the war to cheat them and to get them killed somehow or the other. And I don't trust Krishna anymore. This way, Yudhishthira Maharaj started speaking there. So when this has become, when this became, this thoughts inside in Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind became unbearable, it started coming out little by little. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, this problem was reported back to Krishna. Bhimasena and Arjuna went to Krishna and said to Krishna that, look at this, that Yudhishthira Maharaj doesn't seem to be very peaceful. He is having great difficulty. Krishna said to them, don't worry about it. After all, he has gone through a hard time. Everything will settle down. Eventually he will be peaceful. Krishna consoled it. Krishna didn't take it very seriously or anything. But after that, when this conversation happened between Arjuna and Bhimasena and Krishna, that Krishna was actually preparing for another situation altogether. Krishna was preparing for another situation, that Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he started openly speaking against Krishna, Arjuna one day said to Krishna that, why don't we talk to Yudhishthira Maharaj directly? Why don't you speak to him directly? After all, in the battlefield, when I felt terribly upset about fighting the war, it is you who spoke to me Bhagavad Gita and saved me from the situation. It says there, isn't it? Shogasam vignamanasa, that out of distress he threw away his weapons and he sat in the chariot. Shogasam vignamanasa, in the Bhagavad Gita says there. And then what did Krishna do? Taibhyam masmagama partha, naivatvayo babadhyade, shudram hrudaya daurbhalyam, tekto tishta varandava. Krishna said to Arjuna, get up from there, talk all, stop all this nonsense and start doing your duty, what I am asking you to do. So you encouraged me to do that in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And after you have spoken to me, I was clear in my mind what I had to do. I was absolutely clear. So can you not speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj also and get rid of this illusion from his mind that some things what he has done is wrong? Okay, if you want me to do that, I will do that, Krishna said to Arjuna. So then in the assembly of the whole family, there was Vedavyasa Maharshi, there was Panjali, Subhadra, Uttaradevi, Kundidevi, and all the Pandavas together. In that assembly, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita again to Yudhishthira Maharaj. But the difference was, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the battlefield, first time, there were no examples or anything. It was just knowledge straight away given to Arjuna in a packaged form. But this time, to Yudhishthira, who was present in the assembly of the family, in that family assembly, when Krishna spoke, everything was spoken with a lot of examples so that Yudhishthira Maharaj will understand that what he has done is not a wrong thing. That although instructed by Krishna, whatever he has performed is dharma. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj has got this difficulty always, he sticks to dharma very strongly. So this dharma, Yudhishthira's other name is Dharmaputra, because he is the personified form of dharma, that he wanted that dharma should be restored. So Krishna wanted to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj that he has not broken any of the rules of the game, that he has strictly acted based on the Shastra and based on what Krishna has spoken. So Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita in detail to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and again he spoke, so many examples he gave, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was sitting in the assembly. After Krishna has spoken for a very long time, when Krishna stopped speaking, Yudhishthira got up from his sleep. And he said to Krishna, oh, have you finished now? This is what Yudhishthira replied to Krishna. Have you finished now what you have got to say? So there it is, Sudha Goswami in Shaunagarishi, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a conversation about this word. Vyasadhyai Ishwarai Rajyai Krishneral Bhudagarmanaha Prabhodi Devi. That nobody can understand what was going through Krishna's mind at that time. Everybody was thinking that Krishna has done on Arjuna's request to talk to Yudhishthira Maharaj about the responsibility of what, as a Kshatriya, what he had to do. Vyasadei Ishware Rajnyai, that Ishware, nobody was able to understand what was Krishna's mind was working on. Nobody could understand. They were all thinking that Kundidevi thought that because of my request, Krishna has stayed back. Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that because I've asked Krishna to stay back, Krishna has stayed back. But actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami says to Shavinagrishi that the reason why Krishna stayed back was something different than all these things. And that reason is what comes out here. Vyasadye Ishware Rajnye Krishne Albhudagarmana Prabhodi Devi. Albhudagarmana. Albhudagarma means that wonderful activities of Krishna is very, very difficult sometimes to understand. So after Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj could not understand that why this has happened, that why this war was fought, and so many questions were going through his mind. So Krishna spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj again to make him peaceful. Yudhishthira was not in a mood to listen to anything. He simply kept on insisting that all this war was unnecessary, all these people who were killed were only because Krishna did not manage the things properly. And he said to Krishna even that we are Kshatriyas, our nature, by nature, we are karma niradas. In other words, we are engaged in karma. We have this nature to perform activities all the time. And you should have actually controlled our this rajogunam to such nicely that we will not get involved in this war. So Krishna said to Yudhishthira at that time that I have told you everything, but if you are not able to listen to me, what I have said, would you listen to Bhishma then? If Bhishma tells you something, will you accept? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj always considered Bhishma Pitamaha as a proper guide in his life. And throughout, as you can see in the Mahabharata, that Bhishma Pitamaha brought them up, and Bhishma was always the guiding force behind the Kauravas and the Pandavas. So would you listen to Bhishma if Bhishma tells you that what you have performed is dharma? Yudhishthira Maharaj got so angry with Krishna at that time and said to Krishna, did you not force me to kill you, Bhishma, also in the war in the same way what you have done with others, he said. So Krishna smiled and told him, have you forgotten that Bhishma is still lying there? He hasn't left his body. He is still lying there on the bed of arrows waiting for the time to come. So at that time only Yudhishthira Maharaj realized that Bhishma Dev was lying on the bed of arrows waiting for the time to come to leave the world. So it was at that time, Vyasadeyishwarerajye Krishner Albhudakarma, that is Krishna's Albhudakarma. That Krishna's plan was that my another devotee is waiting there, I should go to him. And he wanted to glorify that devotee, Bhishma, exactly like Kunti Devi glorified Krishna. He wanted to give that opportunity to Bhishma Dev as well. So before going to Bhishma, he wanted to go there, not alone, with all the other devotees. And that is why as soon as Krishna mentioned about Bhishma Dev waiting there to leave this world, that immediately there was the arrangement, all the Pandavas decided to go to see Bhishma Pitamaha. It was on the 58th day after the war that Bhishma Pitamaha left this world. So before he left this world, he was waiting there. And what was Bhishma Pitamaha's mood at that point? That's also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Bhishma Pitamaha was thinking that I am lying in this bed of arrows. And it is in this bed of arrows, where is it? It is in the Kurukshetra. And it is in Kurukshetra that Krishna has spoken the principles of religious life. What was that principle? Sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shujam. That this is what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita. And my life, Bhishma Dev thought himself, that actually I followed this principle strictly, that I accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And during the war, even Krishna, due to certain prarabdham and due to certain arrangements, because Bhishma Dev had to fight with Duryodhana, but that's another thing. But in his heart, he was a devotee of Krishna. So actually, he was conscious about the fact that he has done his service to Krishna. When Krishna said that, sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shujam, then if that is the case, now I am ready to leave this world. Some devotees will say that that Bhishma Pitamaha was waiting for Uttarayanam to come. Uttarayanam means Uttarayanam and Dakshinayanam are the Gadi and Vigadi. In other words, it is actually the path of direction of the movement of the sun towards the north and the south. So according to the yogis and according to the jnanis, Uttarayanam time is a good time to leave this world, because that time it is actually in the celestial planets it is daytime. And that's the reason why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita like that, that during the Uttarayanam period, because when the living entity leaves this material world, when he leaves his body, he has to go through so many different scenes which we are unaware of in the normal life. But in the Vedic literature we can understand that the living entity has to accept another body, but before accepting that body, there is a certain amount of transfers taking place. Just like in an airport, you have got transfer from one place to another. Similarly, so the living entity is decided that which direction he has to go at the time of death. So normally, if you calculate that our 6 months time is one day in the time for the demigods, that is how it is, and our 6 months is one night. So in other words, our 1 year period is one day and one night for them altogether. That is the story. This is the situation in the heavenly planets and in the higher planetary systems. In the lower planetary systems, if you go into Pitraloka, you will find there our 15 days time is their day, and another 15 days is a night for them. So if one is going to the higher planetary systems, when the living entity leaves this material world, he gets an opportunity to go to the Pretaloka, where the decision is taken. If he is a pious nature, a person who has performed pious activities, who has served Krishna, who has surrendered to Krishna, he immediately is transferred from there to the higher planets. He gets this opportunity to go. So but that time, if it is during the daytime, if you are going to a new place, it is better that you get there in the day, night, in the daytime rather than in the nighttime. So the spirit soul, when he leaves his body and he goes through Pretaloka and eventually to the higher planetary systems, it is considered to be better during the Uttarayanam time. So that is why Uttarayanam, Agnir Jyotirah Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also to Arjuna, that yogis and the great transcendentalists, they know this, the time when to leave this body so that they can go into the higher planetary systems at their own will. So, so when this happened, Bhishma Pitamaha, being a yogi who was a Swachanda Mrityu, who had the freedom to make the decision when to leave the world, he was waiting for Uttarayanam to turn up. So Uttarayanam was going to arrive and he was waiting on the bed of arrows. So some devotees also say that Bhishma Pitamaha was waiting for Uttaravayanam. Uttarayanam means, that is also another meaning to it. Uttara means very auspicious. Also it means, Ayanam means shelter. So actually Bhishma Pitamaha is waiting for that auspicious shelter to come. What is that auspicious shelter? Krishna's lotus feet. So that is what Bhishma Pitamaha was waiting for actually. So there are some acharyas who comments about this, that rather than the time Uttarayanam, he was actually waiting for Krishna to come. So Bhishma's thoughts were such, that now at this point, when I am leaving this material world, well, Krishna won't come to me. And that is the mood what Bhishma was at that point. So when Krishna decided to go to see Bhishma Pitamaha, at the same time, all the Pandavas also got ready to go. So all the Pandavas came there, Krishna also came there. Who else came there? When Krishna was preparing himself to go to Bhishma, automatically, by Krishna's arrangement, all the great sages also got prompted to go to Kurukshetram. And that is the beautiful side of it, that Krishna immediately gave the signal to the sages that you should also come there. That is why in the Bhagavatam you will find all the great sages, Vedavyas Maharshi was there, and so many other great personalities mentioned, they all came to Bhishma. And it is there that in the assembly of that, of the Bhishma Pitamaha, along with the Pandavas and Krishna, Bhishma Pitamaha spoke to Krishna, Arjuna, to Yudhishthira Maharaj continuously for several hours about different dharma. And at the end of that speech, and that is very famous in the Bhishma's instructions to Uddhava, at the end of that, Krishna looked at Yudhishthira Maharaj. Have you not understood that I have nothing to do with all these things now? This was Krishna's mood at that point. Why? Because when Yudhishthira Maharaj was, when Bhishma was speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he told so many things to Yudhishthira. And first he said, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, that what has happened to you, yadyuyam dharmanandana, o son of Dharma Maharaj, that these things, what has happened to the Pandavas, should not have happened. Because why? Jividam narhada klishtam vipra dharma achyuda ashrayaha. That what have they done? Because if you look at Pandava's life, you cannot find anything wrong what they have done in their life. Jividam narhada klishtam. That you are not to be disturbed, you are not to be troubled like this. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. That what has happened to you in all through your life, Yudhishthira Maharaj told, Bhishma Pitamaha told Yudhishthira Maharaj, Aho kashtam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam dharmanandanam, jividam narhada klishtam, vipra dharma achyuda ashrayaha. That you have always acted properly, you have always protected the brahmanas, vipra, you always upheld the religious principles, dharma, above and all than that, you have always taken shelter of achyuda, vipra, dharma, achyuda, ashrayaha. So this is your position. And having done all these things, in spite of that such a distress has come to you in your life, Is that not something very, very difficult to understand? Then Yudhishthira was wondering why Bhishma Pitama was saying all these things. And then he said to Bhishma Pitama, has said to Yudhishthira, Sarvam Kalakritam Manye, that everything that is happening in this material world is controlled by time, and that time is under control of Krishna. Vayo Riva Khanavali, that everything is controlled by Krishna, and what Krishna wants will happen. What Krishna doesn't want is not going to happen. So that is the way. And you people, what have you done to Krishna? You have made him as your charioteer. You have made him as your representative for negotiations. And you have made him, treated him as a friend. But none of you were able to understand that, who Krishna is. And when Bhishma ultimately told these things to Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj started thinking that in his mind a certain amount of peace has come to him. That what Krishna has instructed in religious principle is the religious principle. There is no higher religious principle than what Krishna has spoken. All other religious principles are man-manufactured. That is no value. The real religious principle is what Krishna has spoken. And Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody else has any authority. That is why in the Bhagavatam, it very, very clearly says there, Nade Nabideva, Nade Vidu Krishayo Nabideva. Even the great sages, they do not know what is religious principle. Not the demigods, they don't know either. Kudascha vidyadara charanadaya, neither the vidyadaras, charanas, none of them knows what is religious principle. Dharmostu sakshal bhagaval pranidam, na devido krishayo na abideva. Then in the sixth canto, it says there, dharmostu sakshal bhagaval pranidam, dharma or religious principle is what Krishna has spoken, nothing else. Everything else is irreligious principle. So Bhishma Pitamaha, through his words, whom Yudhishthira Maharaj has accepted as an authority on religious principle, by hearing from Bhishma, Dharmaputra understood, or Yudhishthira Maharaj understood, that what Krishna has spoken is the absolute thing, that there is no necessity to change anything. So at that point, ultimately, Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma Pitamaha started speaking all the dharma. So much dharma is spoken. In the Mahabharata you will find chapter after chapter about dharma. Bhishma Pitama has spoken to Yudhishthira. And after all that dharma was spoken, Bhishma asked Yudhishthira if he had any questions. And then he turned to Yudhishthira and told him, this personality who is standing here, Krishna, you have treated him as your friend and emissary and all that. But let me tell you, Bhishma Pitama has said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that advayasya anaham krade, that this Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no pride in him. So you have done all these things to him, but is he offended by that? No, he is not. That is the greatness of Krishna. Advayasya anaham krade, no pride in him. At the same time, he also knows there is nothing which exists outside him. We have so much duality in this world. Krishna has no duality because Krishna is one absolute. And the absolute platform, he sees that every living entity is a part and parcel of him. Krishna knows that. But we don't have that realization. So we see everything separate from Krishna. But from Krishna's point of view, advayasya anaham krade, Bhishma's prayers, in the Bhishma's prayers he says this to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is to that Krishna that now I have spoken everything. If you have any more questions, you can ask me now, Bhishma said to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj was satisfied with all the religious principles what Bhishma Pitama has spoken to him. And it was then that Krishna looked at Yudhishthira Maharaj seriously and looked at him simply by looking itself. Yudhishthira Maharaj understood that Krishna was asking, I have nothing to do with all what has happened. It's purely that time, sarvam kala kritam mani. Everything is happening by time, and time is under Krishna's control, and nobody can change it, nobody can question it, why Krishna has done like that. But anyway, that you have to take it like this, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj was pacified in that meeting by Bhishma Pitamaha. And that is where Yudhishthira was brought back into a peaceful time. So the intention was actually that Krishna came there to see Bhishma with all these devotees. And when everything was over, that they could see that Bhishma Pitamaha wanted now to speak. He wanted to speak certain things. So when he has finished with Yudhishthira Maharaj, he started speaking from then, that point onwards, now let me talk a few words to Krishna directly. That is how Bhishma concludes that discussion with Yudhishthira Maharaj. And it is then that Bhishma Dhamaha addressed Krishna and started requesting Krishna to come towards him. There also is something interesting to note, that Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows. And while lying on the bed of arrows, when all the sages and the Pandavas and everybody came, Bhishma Pitamaha looked at each one of them, because from the bed of arrows he could only do that much. And they all appreciated that looks from Bhishma, because Devabrata, yes, he is known otherwise. Bhishma Pitamaha was a very, very, very powerful personality in Mahabharata. And due his determination and strength, nobody could question him at any time. So it was then that Bhishma Pitamaha spoke to Yudhishthira that let me talk a few words to my Lord. And that is why he addresses Krishna at that time. And he wanted Krishna to move towards him, towards a friend, and sit there and stand in front of him, listen to what Yudhishthira Maharaj had to say to him. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said to Krishna in this way. Yudhishthira's words were like this, that normally in life, most of us, we go to see Krishna. We go to the temple and we stand at the outside, or we pay obeisances to the deities when we get into the temple room. After that, we go near the, as much as we can go, we go there. And we wait, we stand there. And we pray. If we can go a little bit closer, we'll still go there. But because we are forbidden from going further, near the donation box, you stand there. You don't go further from there. So we are stopped there. This is our position. But Bhishma here is saying to Krishna, now you can come forward so that I can talk to you. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratikshadam. Krishna says to, Yudhishthira says to Krishna, that I have been waiting here for your arrival and please wait for me. Can any devotee say this to Krishna like Bhishma has spoken? Bhishma has said to Krishna that please wait for me. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratikshadam. That when Krishna spoke to Bhishma in this way, Bhishma spoke to Krishna in this way, Krishna had to wait there. So generally, the devotee's relationship with Krishna in this material world is a different one than Bhishma. Bhishma's case, Krishna has come to see Bhishma. Bhishma didn't go to see Krishna. We go to temple to see Krishna. Krishna don't come to see us. But that is a difference. That is what you have to understand here. That in Bhishma's case, Krishna has gone to see Bhishma. This is where the difference is between us and Bhishma. In Bhishma's case, Krishna was going to see Bhishma. And normally we wait for the curtains to open. We wait for Krishna so that we could see Krishna. But in Bhishma's case, Bhishma is asking Krishna to wait. So this is where the difference is. Sadeva devo bhagavan pratikshadam. That please tejandyadam yavadidam kaleberam anomyahinomyaham prasannaha sarunalojan ollasal mukhambujam dhyanapada chadurbhujaha. That the form which Vishwadeva wanted to say Krishna was that 400 form of Yudhishthira. That is 400 form of Krishna. That is what he was praying. So Krishna appeared at that time in the 400 form which he has in his mind, in his meditation. He has performed on Krishna that he wanted to see Krishna in that form, and Krishna agreed. And it is then that Bhishma Pitamaha left his eyes fully open looking at Krishna before he gave up his body. And looking at Krishna with a fully opened eyes. Normally our eyes goes closing down. It starts sinking one after the other. And so many millions of thoughts comes through our mind at the time of death. But Bhishma Pitamaha, with such a great control on his mind and consciousness, he was able to fully focus on Krishna's form and Krishna's body. And seeing Krishna in that form, Bhishma Pitamaha gave up his body. But before he gave up his body, the last few verses he spoke to Krishna, which is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly famous, very well known as Kundistuti, as known as the Bhishma's prayers, which we will talk about it in the next lesson. So I'll just read that chapter from of Kundi's prayers, and then
Shri Suta Vacha. Atati sambarevanam swanamudam ichadam vadam sa krishna gangayam purakritya yastriyam teni niyodagam sarve vilakta japusham puna aplaha hari vadabjam edapuda sarijjarem Satrasinam Kuruvadim Pradarastam Sahanijam Gandharim Putrashogartam Pratam Krishnanijamathavam Sangvayamasa Vedir Hadabandhun Shujartilan Budesu Kalasthagadim Darshayan Pradikriyam Sadayitva Jara Shatro Sundarjam Kudavayasadam Sadayitva Sadoratnya Kujasta Shakshadayisham Yajayitva Shamehaishtam Sabidattam Adalpadi Sadyasa Pavanam Diksham Sadamanyori Vadanori Amandravandi Vuttramsha Shaine Yothava Samyuda Dvaivahayadimirvipray Pujidai Pradipujidaha Jendam Kalamadir Brahman Dvaragam Yathamastida Ubalethe Pidavandi Uttaram Bhayavishwaram Uttaravaja Pahivahi Mahayogin Devadeva Jagalpade Nanyam Tvadamayam Vashe Yatramrityu Parasparam Abhidravadivamisha Sharastaptaya Sovibho Kamam Dahadumamnaha Mame Garbho Nipasyaram Sudavaja Upadaryo Jastasya Bhagavan Bhaktavalsara Apandavamidam Kartam Dravni Rastrema Hujyadam Tarkevatamuni Shrestha Pandava Panjasayanan Atmanobimukhan Deetan Alakshastra Nibadadum Vyasanam Mikshadattesham Ananya Vishayalpanam Sudarshanena Swatrena Swanam Rakshadvedadvipum Andastha Sarvabhuranam Atma Yogeshwarohai Samaya Yavunodhyarpam Vairatya Gulagandavim Yadyaprastram Brahmashiras Tomoham Japradikriyam Vaishnavam Tejamasadya Samasham Yelbhudvaham Maam Mastahyadadashyadiyam Sarvashyadiyamayechude Eidam Maya Devya Sajatyavadihandyajam Brahmarejovayar Mukte Atmajaisaya Krishnaya Prayanabhimugam Krishnam Idamahabhutasati Shri Kundirvacham Namaste Purusham Swatyam Vishwaram Bhagavadeparam Alaksham Sarvabhudanam Andarabhahiravastiram Maya Javanigachanyam Atnyadokshajamavvayam Nalakshase Moodadrishav Nadonachidaroyatham Tathaparamahamsanam Muninamamalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Kadambashye Mahistriyam Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaji Nandaraja Nandakohumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaham Namapangajanabhaya, Namapangajamalini, Namapangajanetraya, Namaste Pangajankhaye Yathakushigeshakhalena Devaji, Kamsena Ruddhadigiram Shijapida Vimohjidaham Satsatahatmajabhiho, Toyayivanato, Muhurvidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhidhid മൃഗേമൃഗേനേകമഹാരഹാസ്രതോ ബ്രാഹ്മ്യസ്രതശ്ചാത്മഹരീമിരക്ഷിതാഃ വിപദസ്തന്തു നശ്വശ്വൽ തത്ര തത്ര ജഗൽഗുരോ ഭവതോ ദർശനം യസ്യാൽ അവനാർഭോ ദർശനം ജന്മ ഈശ്വരേശ്വര ശ്രീരി ഏതമാനുവദപ്പുവൻ നൈവാഹർത്യ പിതാതും വൈ സ്വാമകിഞ്ചന ഗോചരം നമോ കിഞ്ചന വിത്തായ നിവൃത്ത ഗുണവൃത്തയെ ആത്മാരാമായ ശാന്തായ കൈവല്യപദയേനമാം മഞ്ഞേ ത്വം ധാരമീശാനം അനാദീധനം വിഭം സമം ചരന്തം സർവത്ര ഭൂതാനം യന്മിതഖലീ നവേന കച്ചേവകവംശകേഷിതം ഏഹമാനസി മൃണാം വിദംബനം നയസ്യ കച്ചേദോസ്തി കർഷികൾ ദേശ്യസ്യസ്മിൻ വിഷമാമനിർമ്മണം ജന്മകർമ്മജമേ വിശ്വം അജസ്യാകർത്തുകാത്മന തിരിയങ്ങോ നിഷകോജാതസ്മാത്യന്ത വിദംബനം ഗോപ്യാതദേശി കാമതാവൽ യാദേശ്രദ്ധശാശു ഫലിതാന്തന സംഭമാക്ഷം വക്രം വിനീയ ഭയഭാവനയാസ്യമോഹയതിവേദീ കേജിതാഹുരജം ജാതം പുണ്യശ്ലോകസ്യ കീർത്തയെ യഥോ പ്രിയസന്യവായേ മലയസ്യേവ ചന്ദനം അപരേ വാസുദേവസ്യ ദേവസ്യാം യാചിതോഭ്യകാൽ അജസ്വമസ്യ ക്ഷേമായ വധായ സുരദ്വിഷാം ഭാരാവതരണായന്നി ഭൂവർണാഭി നിബോധതൌ ശ്രീഗന്ധ്യാഭൂരിഭാരേണ ജാതോഷ്യാത്മഭുവാർത്തിതാം ഭാവേസ്മിൻ ദൃശ്യമാനാനാം അവിദ്യാകാമകർമ്മഭി ശ്രവണസ്മരണാഹാനി കരിഷ്യനിരികേചനാം ശൃണ്വന്തി ഗായന്തി ഗണന്ധ്യ വീഷ്ണശ സ്മരന്തി നന്ദിതവേഹിതം ജന താ പശ്യന്തി ജനേന താവകം ഭാവപ്രവാഹോ കയമാംബദാംബുജം അപ്യദ്യനശ്ചം സുഹൃദേഹിത പ്രഭോ വിശാസശിശ്യസുഹൃതോ ജീവിന യേഷാം നാന്യൽ ഭവതപ്പദാംബുജൽ പരായാം രാജസുയോജിതാം ഹസാം കേവയം നാമ രൂപാഭ്യം ഇതുപി സഹ പാണ്ഡവ ഭവതോ ദർശനം അർഹി ശീലാണാമിവേശിതോ േയം ശോഭിഷ്യതേതത്ര യഥേതാനിഞ്ചദാതന സ്വൽപരൈതഞ്ചിതാഭാതി സുലക്ഷണ വിരക്തിരൈ ഇമേജനപദാ സ്വധ്വാ സുഭകൗസലീരുധ വനാദ്രി നദ്യന്തോ അഹന്തേരവദീക്ഷിതോ അപവിശേഷ വിശ്വാത്മൻ വിശ്വമോക്കേ സ്വദേശമേ സ്നേഹവാസമിമം സിന്ധി കൃതംബാംബിഷു വൃഷ്ണിഷോ ത്വയിമേനന്വേഷയ മധുർമധുപദേശകൾ ഋമുദ്ധുഹരാദർഹ ഗന്ധേയോഗമുധനുവീ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ സഹവശഭാവനേന്ദ്രോ രാജന്യവംശദഹനാനപവർഗവീര്യ ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോതിരസുരാർത്തിഹരാവതാര യോഗേശ്വര അഖില ഗുരോ ഭഗവൻ നമസ്തേ ശ്രീ സൂതവാചാം പ്രണയേസംഘളപരി പരിനൂതാഖിലോദയ മന്ദം ജഹാസ വൈകുണ്ടോ മോഹയം നിവമായയാം സാമ്പാടമിത്യുപാവന്ദ്രയ പ്രവിശ്യതയഥാഭയം ശ്രീയച്ച സ്വയംന്യാസിൽ പ്രേംനാരാജ്ഞാനിവാരിണാം വ്യാസാദ്യൈരീശ്വരേഹാജ്ഞി കൃഷ്ണേന അത്ഭുതകർമ്മണ പ്രബോധിതോരുഹാസെ നവോജ്ജലശിഗാർത്തിക അഹരാജാധർമ്മസുത ചിന്തയൻ സുഹൃദാംബരം പ്രകടേനാത്മനാഭിപ്രാ സ്നേഹമോഹസംഗത അഹോ ഏ ബസരാജ്ഞാനം കൃതിരൂടം ദുരാത്മന പാരാച്യസ്യവദേഹസ് ബഹ്യോമീ അച്ഛോചിനീഹദാ ബാലദ്വിജ സുഹൃന്മിത്ര പിതദ്രാതർഗുരുഗ്രഹ നമേസി അംഗരയാമോക്ഷോ അഭിവർഷായുരശരീ മൈനോരാജ്ഞ പ്രജാപർത്തോ ധർമ്മയുദ്ദേവദോദ്വിഷാം ഇതിനേനുബോധായ കൽപ്പദേശാസനന്മജാം സ്ത്രീനാം മദ്ധരബന്ധൂനാം ദ്രോഹോയോ സവിഹോത്തിത കർമ്മവ്യർഗഹമേദീയർ നഹം കൽപ്പോ വിഘോഷിതം യഥാപങ്കേന പങ്കാം വാ സുരയാ വാ സുരാസനം ഭൂതഹത്യാം യഥൈവാദം നയജ്ഞേയർമാസ്തമർഹലി ഇതി ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണി പ്രഥമസ്കന്ധേ അഷ്ടമോധ്യായം. So that was the Kundalini's prayers. And the next chapter is actually Bhishma Vyamaha's prayers and Bhishma Stili as it is known in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There, unlike Kundalini's prayers, Bhishma Dev's prayers is a little different in the sense that Bhishma Vyamaha was actually seeing Krishna not only as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but apart from that, Bhishma Dev's position was such that some of the pastimes, what Krishna has performed in this world, Bhishma Dev has remembered that in his prayers to Bhishma Pitamaha. So, that is the end of Kundalini's prayers. So, if there's any questions or comments, please.
If everything is under Krishna's control, time and everything, why can't Krishna change the mind of people to become favorable to him?
In Krishna's creation, we understand that there is a purpose behind this creation. That if you can see, when the creation process happened, when Krishna expanded himself into other living entities, Krishna had a purpose behind it. And the purpose was that Krishna felt the need for association with other living entities in the creation itself. And that is why the whole process of creation happened. Now, when the living entities in the spiritual world associate with Krishna in happiness, or they have the true nature of the spirit soul as eternity, blissful and knowledge, that realization is there. But it is the criminals like us who have left Krishna's association and come to this world who are actually causing problems. So we think that we are the troublemakers. Actually, we are the troublemakers for Krishna, nobody else. And this troubleshooting, also if Krishna wants to stop it, stop it. And this material life, or thrown into this material world, itself is the punishment. Actually, that is the punishment what Krishna has given to us. Just like, why is samsaram or material existence is called like this? For example, if you fall into the sea, you have to drink salt water. You have no choice, have you? In the same thing, if you fall into this material life, you have to face distress. That is the nature of the material world. So it is not that Krishna doesn't want to change it, that till we purify ourselves from this criminal mentality to come back to Krishna consciousness, we have to accept different bodies and continue in this material life. That is the way the process of creation is. But we have to remember that majority of Krishna's creation is not criminals. It's only a very small part, 25% as they say, in this material world who go through this process of purification. The rest are very much in agreement with Krishna and they serve Krishna happily.
Chapter 26 verse,
yeah.
And then he says that Kunti Devi said that your lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. What does this mean?
Materially exhausted, yes. I was saying this in the beginning, that in relationship with the Paramahamsas, that in this material world, there are people who are very busy in this world, who have a lot of things to do here. And for them, it is very difficult to come to Krishna, because their mind is focused on something else. They have to achieve so many things here. They've got targets to meet. And they've got so many other plans in this world to before they can think about Krishna. But what Kunti Devi is saying there is that Paramahamsas, who have no plans in this world, because they have already pulled back from this world, they say, we have nothing to do in this world. This is a place, anyhow, it's going to be like this, it's not going to change. Such people can easily access Krishna, because Krishna actually has a relationship with such personalities. They are known as Paramahamsas. Paramahamsas means one who has come to that level of consciousness, who are completely withdrawn from material consciousness, or the consciousness who are completely withdrawn from material consciousness or they are properly situated in the spiritual consciousness. And those people, they are poor. They don't have any material wealth. All they have is Krishna consciousness. That's their wealth. So Kunti Devi is saying there, for them Krishna is accessible easily, but not for those who have got millions of plans in this world. They will find it a bit hard to come to Krishna. That's what Kunti Devi is bringing out through that verse. That materially exhausted people, in other words, one who has no more desire in this material world, in other words, unless one is completely free from material desires, it is very difficult to approach Krishna seriously. That is what that point is bringing out. That Kunti Devi is saying there, danger after danger we experience, and Kunti Devi's fear was that if one day, now after the war was over, Kunti Devi and the Pandavas got the kingdom, empire, everything, and the life is very comfortable from now on, after the war, because they had all the facilities, they didn't have to live in the forest and all. But Kunti Devi was frightened, now that all this wealth and opulences have come to me, it's very easy for me now, we'll see you later, Krishna. You can say that to Krishna, that stage was coming, and that is what was actually worrying Kunti Devi, that let that not happen to me, she was praying that. Because in all circumstances, it is those devotees who have actually surrendered totally to Krishna, that then Krishna has looked up, protected them. And Kunti Devi says, I prefer that protection rather than all this wealth. Why? Like in Duryodhana's case, he had all the wealth, but at the end, it was all a disaster. Whereas Pandavas, they didn't have any wealth in the beginning, but they had, ultimately, they won the war. Not the war, material war, but the war against the material nature. They won. That was their success. So this is a lesson that's coming out from that.
You mentioned that Kunti Devi got association with Krishna because of all the disastrous conditions that she was forced into.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of today, as we live in our present condition, if we welcome disasters, we'll be in, you know, we just wouldn't be able to cope with it.
Yes. Actually, the devotee's approach is always, if disasters come, let them come. Because normally Krishna, when a devotee is serving Krishna seriously, it's not unusual that Krishna protects the devotee. That faith one should have all the time. That even among the difficult situations, Krishna offers protection to the devotee. Although sometimes you may think, feel that everything is going completely out of control. You'll find very disturbing to the mind. But still, when the disturbances come, it is better to approach Krishna with an open heart, thinking that it is, after all, it is Krishna's responsibility. Like Bhishma Dev and Kunti Devi says that, we have handed over that responsibility to Krishna. It is up to Krishna to protect and to look after things, manage my problems. It's not my problem. So that's the way Kunti Devi approached Krishna. And that is what is expected from devotees also. If devotees start thinking, okay, I'll keep my life separate from Krishna and approach Krishna only for what I need from him, that will not be a very comfortable situation. The ideal situation for a devotee is that in all activities in life, because after all, somehow or the other, we have got this material body. We got entangled in household life. We have got all sorts of problems in this world. So, but in spite of all that, if a devotee is still thinking, then let me take Krishna seriously in life and give up all the other plans, eventually things will work out in such a way that Krishna will relieve him from that serious problems. Because otherwise, Bhishma Pitamaha said to Krishna, that if what you said were not true, tomorrow I'll take Bhagavad Gita and cut some verses off from that. This is what Bhishma told him, that I'll take the Bhagavad Gita and start making a propaganda that these verses, what you have spoken, is not true. That, but that is not the case. That Krishna has time and again shown to the devotees that a person who has sincerely surrendered to Krishna and taken shelter of Krishna, even though sometimes he is thrown into difficulties, ultimately Krishna protects the devotee. That is the guarantee from Krishna. Again in Bhagavad Gita, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That does not mean that one has to stop one's activities now that I left everything to Krishna and he will manage everything. No, that's not the point. Point is this, that Krishna is saying, you have to do what you have to do, but act with detachment, that keeping me in the center. Krishna is the main, the consciousness should be based on Krishna, Krishna consciousness. In that way, if one functions, even in the material world, one does not have to experience the distress to that extent that Krishna will protect the devotee even in their circumstances. In Bhagavad Gita and in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna is saying the same point. Nowhere Krishna said, you should sit down, akarmala. Akarmala means without any action. One has to act in this world, you have come to this material world, and one has to accept the happy, distress is the nature of the material life, that no one can free oneself from that. And anyone who can analyze life carefully, one can see that overall, if you weigh the happiness and distress, the distress balance is much more heavier than the happiness side of it. Perhaps this little happiness, whatever one had, is very much a limited thing.
What's the ratio of the spiritual world to the material world?
In the Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that that it's about quarter is the material world, the quarter of the creation is the material world. The three quarter is the spiritual world.
You said that we are controlled by time and time is controlled by Krishna.
In other words, Krishna is controlling us completely.
So, is it not that we suffer the reactions of our actions?
Sure.
Aren't we controlled by our actions?
We are, yes. The actions have a big role in our life. Our own activities will control us to a large extent. But when things, what has happened to if you go by that logic, that actions are the cause of our happiness and distress, Pandavas should not have been put into distress. Because what Bhishma Pitamaha is saying there is that Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashrayaha, that you have looked after the Brahmanas, you have served the Brahmanas, you have performed, you have upheld religious principles, and you have always taken shelter of Krishna. In spite of that, you have suffered. Why? That question comes, isn't it? So, in answer to that, Bhishma is saying there to Krishna Maharaj, that although all these things, loss of reaction, action and reaction is still there, ultimately everything is in Krishna's control. If Krishna wants that, Pandavas have to go through that distress what they experienced in the hands of the Kauravas. That was a decision from Krishna, and that one cannot overturn. That is what the Bhishma was saying there.
This came unjust, that somebody was not done anything to deserve something bad, and still
has to go. Yes, in Krishna's pastimes in this world, if you have to find a logic that you have to ask to Krishna, because why it is like that? At some instances, somebody has to suffer, even with good intention, somebody has served, but that is. That is a different situation, because Krishna has plans and these plans work on a longer period of time. We see things in a very short-sighted way. So therefore our logic is not easily to apply to Krishna's activities.
Also you said that everybody in this world has so many plans. But sometimes if we take shelter of Lord and then we desire, all our plannings are like in the realm of devotion, so okay, we like to do this for Krishna, we like to do this for Krishna. And if we feel that that also doesn't work in our favor, I mean, in the sense that sometimes we feel we want to do so much, but we feel a lot of obstacles come. So even if our desires are, is it a mixed desire or what exactly is it?
Well, desires are desires, isn't it? Desires means that one has so many ideas in mind, but to serve Krishna, as it says in the first canto, in the first chapter itself, it's ahaituki apratiharam, that one wants to serve Krishna, nothing can stop him from serving him. We are thinking that somebody is stopping my service, somebody is putting obstacles on my path. Actually, to sit down in one place and chant Hare Krishna, nobody can stop it. So, actually, that relationship with Krishna is not purely built up by physical service only. Physical service is a part of it. It's not everything in it. The service to Krishna is, it is the mind which is much more involved in that service. It's the mentality behind it, the service, is that determines that service is a Krishna conscious service or not. If one serves Krishna with love and affection, and if he is able to serve Krishna in that mode, that activity will purify that person. But sometimes we find somebody wants to serve Krishna, more than anything else wants to improve his own situation. That's not considered to be service. Service to Krishna has to be unmotivated, and it has to be done without any desire, material, any desire or profit from that. The serving is a living entity's job, but the result is in Krishna's hands. Whether the person will enjoy the benefit of that service or not, that is left to Krishna to decide. So we have to have that understanding even while performing service to Krishna.
For instance, sometimes when we see somebody being very nice, we will inspire, and we also desire.
Yeah.
I wish I could do it also like that.
Yeah.
But we feel that we are not in a position.
Yeah, but everybody won't be able to do everything, would they? I mean, everyone can, like in this world, you don't see that everyone can do every job. So different people do different things in this world. But no service to Krishna is inferior. Every service to Krishna is on the absolute platform. And like in the, some of the greatest devotees, they were unknown in this world. They are unknown in this world. But by their service, they pleased Krishna, and Krishna has rewarded them. They came to the notice of this world after they have left this world. There are so many personalities in this world, particularly women devotees, who quietly stayed home and served Krishna in their own mind. But by their service, Krishna was pleased that Krishna was able to recognize, and the world recognized them at a later date. In fact, everybody in this world, all the great devotees, everyone is not known in this world. There are so many devotees who are unknown in this world, who are serving Krishna with wholeheartedly. But that service is Krishna is recognizing. The world may not recognize it. The world has no meaning in it. Actually, recognition from the world has no value. Recognition from Krishna is more important. So if a devotee understands that, his mind will not be disturbed when somebody is doing a nice service. That he should not think that he is doing a natural service or he is doing a worse service. All these service ultimately, Uddhava says in the Bhagavatam, that when we talk to each other, we talk about each other, oh, he's a nice devotee, he's a good devotee, he's a bad devotee. This is our conception. But Uddhava says there, ultimately, unless you recognize, Krishna recognizes, all this, our so-called devotee, non-devotee, all concepts has no meaning. Because at the end, it is Krishna who has to recognize one's devotional progress or devotional culture. So that is to be left to Krishna only to make that decision. Sorry?
How do we know Krishna?
Yeah, Krishna will reward you with that understanding when Krishna is recognizing that. Because we are so far away from Krishna, we have all these questions about does Krishna recognize my service. He is not going to offer you a certificate straight away that's saying that now you have done this for me, I give you the reward straight away. That's not how Krishna reacts. Krishna's way of reacting, you have to study the history of the devotees. You will find there how they were recognized by Krishna in different instances. That is why we have to read through Srimad Bhagavatam more seriously.
Service is matter of recognition, or just service is
important? If it is sufficient, okay, fine. But if you want recognition, you should look for it.
Actually, if a Vaishnava to read a body, even Uttarayana, Dashana, Dasana, may we take that Bhishma was really waiting for Krishna's arrival rather than Uttarayana Punyayana?
Yes, that's right. Uttarayanam, as it says that Uttaramaya Ayanam, that means auspicious shelter, let that come to me. That is what Bhishma was thinking more than the other thing. That is, some acharyas have commented like that on that point. But some people also say he was waiting. He was a yogi as well, Bhishma Pitamaha. So he was waiting actually for the good time to come to leave the world. So both ways it's understood. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.